It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters in the 10 o'clock hour. Wes Moss, your host. Number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. In the first hour, we talked about, is there a bad time? Is there ever a bad time to invest? Is it a bad time to be putting money to work in the market right now because we're close to an all-time high? It's really the same question. Should you get in now or should you get out now? It's really the same question that we have every day as investors, but it's more pronounced when we get to a market where we are today, close to a high, number one. Number two, all the turmoil we see in the world, in Washington, you're asking yourself that question. Really important study. It was done by Charles Schwab. It's a really simple one-page infographic that shows the difference between perfect timing and terrible timing versus cash in several different iterations, whether you invested in 1990 or 1998 or 2001 and so forth. So it's the short, intermediate, and long-term comparison between bad timing, perfect timing, and cash. And it's a really important exercise to understand for every investor. So the chart, if you'd like to take a look at just the quick one page, what I'm talking about, I've been talking about all day today, it's on my website, wesmoss.com, under the money tab. So just go to Wes Moss, W-E-S, M-O-S-S.com, several tabs across the top, money tab. It's the first article titled, Is Now at a Market High a Bad Time to Invest? That's the title of it. Is now at a market high a bad time to invest? Take a look at that important study we talked about today. Also, along the top of the website, as I'm looking at it, contact button, upper right-hand corner, if you want to find me and the team. We're in Atlanta. If you have specific questions throughout the week, this month, you name it, we're happy to help and get back to you within 24, 48 hours. Good morning, though. Welcome to Money Matters here. It's Solar Eclipse Sunday. Obviously, tomorrow, the big solar eclipse. Tune into WSB for coverage throughout the day on, let's call this a historic astrological event, and exciting. And I know the kids are excited. Just please don't stare at the sun if you're not in the totality part of the eclipse. I've read several articles about people with blind spots having done that as children. Be careful. Wear some sunglasses. And good morning. So with that, I want to go back to the phone lines here and answer a couple of questions. But if you have questions, then we're open up the phone lines about your own particular situation, whether it's a stock question, insurance question, annuity, ETF, mutual fund, retirement plan, pension versus a lump sum. You name it, we're here to set you on a path where you can get the right answer, an objective answer. And that's the most fun and rewarding part for that we do on Money Matters. And hopefully it's the most helpful part as you listen to the show. So we are, phone lines open. Good morning. We're going to go back to a call we had in the 9 o'clock hour and finish that up. But in the meantime, the number here in the studio live, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Michael joins us from Eatonton. Michael, are you still with us? Actually, I don't know if he is. Ryan, is Michael still with us from Eatonton to follow up and answer this question? You there or no? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I want to go back and finish his question, which was, hey, Wes, I've got this, your study about timing makes sense. Yes, over 5 and 7 and 15 years and 17 years and 25 years, you put money to work. It doesn't matter between perfect timing versus bad timing, because it's still better than cash. It's still better than cash. But what happens if you, as an investor, you're just about to retire, and then markets correct, and then we go into this big correction, and then we have a big issue? Well, there are other pieces to that, and the context of that is a little bit nerve-wracking. So the answer, first of all, here to Michael's, or to this question really goes back to, first of all, just the fundamentals of asset allocation. We're not going to have everything invested in stocks as you approach retirement. Of course, if you are 62 and you're about to retire completely, the last thing you want is 100% stock portfolio. That is a portfolio that if we go through large corrections, you're going to experience the full downside of the market. If you don't have some protection or counterbalancing that comes with spreading your assets into other areas besides just stocks. Bonds come to mind, REITs come to mind, energy pipeline companies come to mind, closed-end funds come to mind, preferred stocks come to mind. There are a lot of other areas that don't fully take the brunt of the S&P 500. So that's number one. So of course, you've got to have some sort of protection, balance, we call it asset allocation, as you're heading into retirement. Now, number two, you've got to remember, at least I think of this as what are we doing from an income perspective? So remember, when you go into retirement, and yes, let's say we go into a correction, you don't need your entire portfolio. You only need 3%, 4%, or 5% of it. So as we're doing our planning, remember that over time, we can have some sort of, we have a rate of withdrawal. It's not 100% of the portfolio. You don't need all of it today. You need 3% or 4% or 5% to supplement your Social Security, to supplement pension. And maybe if we retire really early, we're not even at Social Security yet, maybe we need a little bit more, but we don't need 6% or 7% for the rest of our lives. If we do, we're in trouble. That's where this planning comes into effect, and we need to make sure that we're planning to use 3%, 4%, 5% of the portfolio in any given year so that we understand that, remember, an income portfolio will generate that in any given year, even if the market goes up and down. Even if we go through a correction, your equities or your bonds should still pay, or your equities should still pay a level dividends. So dividends should not get changed materially. Your fixed income or your bond portion should continue to pay a similar amount of interest. I call this alternative area. I call it the third bucket or the fourth bucket. Alternative income should continue to pay a similar or level of income. And if you can just rely on that cash flow, then you're less worried about the value of the rest of your portfolio fluctuating. So we're living off the income. We're not going in and taking principal. And those are some of the really important things to remember about as you are on the precipice of retirement. You're just about to do it. Yes, we could easily experience this volatility, but you've got to remember that both asset allocation and that income perspective can really help you get through that period of time so that you can invest for 5, 7, 15, 17, and 25 years like the study we've been talking about all day says. Number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Or if you're listening in Texas, California, Washington, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Joe joins us on the line from Blairsville. Hey, Joe, what's going on? How can I help?
Well, I just wondered if it was possible to direct deposit money from an LLC into a personal IRA.
Can you direct deposit from an LLC into an IRA? Now, well, let me ask you this. Are you talking about just a regular IRA? Are you talking about a retirement account like a 401k or a SEP?
I'm talking about a regular IRA. I rolled money from a TIA CREF account.
Okay.
Into a personal IRA.
Got it.
And now have an LLC that I'm working part-time and want to know if I can continue to make deposits into that IRA from the LLC.
Okay, so you want to make IRA contributions from effectively an account that is in an LLC, but an LLC in this case is a pass-through entity. It's effectively a single-owned LLC. It's just you?
It's just me.
So again, I'm not an accountant, I'm not a CPA, but the answer to that, I believe, absolutely is yes. So that again, when it comes time to do your taxes, and again, check with your CPA on this. But I've experienced this as well because I have an LLC too. It's a single member LLC where I and I do this as an author. So my the business of being an author with books and is a very separate business from, let's say, the investment business. So this, just as an author, I'm just an LLC, right? The income passes through on my tax return to me, and then I make contributions to a retirement plan in that particular, from that particular account. Really what happens, and again, a CPA could be up in arms listening to this and might call in, but really what matters is that the how you're reporting, I mean, if it's your income through your LLC, single member, comes back to you, there's no reason that as you are making contributions, they're going to your IRA or your SEP IRA or your solo 401k account. It shouldn't matter. It should, if you have a retirement plan or a retirement account, you should be able to direct an appropriate amount of money. And again, there's all there's different parameters for different types of accounts. A SEP has parameters, a 401k has parameters, a regular IRA has different parameters, but there's no reason as a single member LLC, you own the whole thing, you shouldn't be able to systematically add money to those retirement accounts. I do not see a problem with that at all. So again, if you have a CPA, I would probably double check with that. But I think that it's actually really important to be able to do that. So I think you're in good shape, Joe, from Blairsville.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling into Money Matters this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters as we're in the 10 o'clock hour here. Call it Solar Eclipse Sunday. Big day tomorrow, obviously. Wear your sunglasses. WSB coverage throughout the middle of the day with Solar Eclipse. With that, stay tuned. Number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. If you're headed to church or headed to go play some golf or brunch here on a Sunday morning with the family or just hanging out in the kitchen, reading the newspaper, listening to WSB radio, and you have a financial question about an investment or a strategy or a fork in the road, we'd love to talk and we'd love to help you answer your questions. Phone lines here this morning, 404-872-0750. Feel free to give us a call. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You're listening to Money Matters right here, WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Let's talk about Eclipse for just a second. Again, you can't just wear normal sunglasses. You have to have specialized Eclipse glasses. And again, evidently, there's a lot of pop-ups on Amazon that are selling unsafe Eclipse eyewear. So you've got to be really, really careful about that. In fact, Amazon's recalling some of these Eclipse glasses as a precaution. If you want to see if your Eclipse glasses are safe, NASA recommends checking them against the American Astronomical Society's reputable vendors of solar filters and viewers page. It's not enough to have sunglasses. You've got to have special Eclipse glasses or special purpose solar filters. Otherwise, it's not safe to look at this partialized eclipse. So I want you to be really careful about that. I've read several articles about this. It's a very real issue. And then if you look at comments on these articles of folks that have did this at the last eclipse when they were, let's say they were kids, they're in their 50s today or 60s, and they still have a blind spot. So it's not enough. It's not enough just to wear sunglasses. You've got to have special Eclipse glasses that obviously are much stronger at filtering out the dangerous light and the dangerous rays. The other thought here is that this is exciting. I know that so many families are going up north to the mountains to see to try to get to the point where it's the total eclipse. Here's the deal: we are covering this tomorrow. So WSB's Mark Arum, Eric Von Hessler, live tomorrow from 1 until 3 tomorrow afternoon, along with Kirk Mellish, Neil Bortz, the WSB News team, that whole group is going to be taking calls. So that's Monday at 1 o'clock right here, WSB Radio. Remember, got to be careful when you're staring up at the sun or the partial eclipse. They've got to be eclipse glasses, not just sunglasses. I want you to be super, super careful about that. It's a very real thing. The number, here we go. We got to run to quick news, weather, traffic, and then we're going to come back and take your calls and questions right here on Money Matters. The number in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you're local, 404-872-0750. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead right here. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning. Let's call it Solar Eclipse Sunday. Tomorrow, obviously, we've got this rare event that we were excited about. Schools are getting changed in times and when kids are let out, and we are covering the eclipse from 1 to 3. We've got Mark Aramon, Eric Von Hessler, Kirk Mellish, Neil Bortz from 1 to 3. Wear your special eclipse glasses. It's not enough just to have sunglasses. Remember, these have to be eclipse sunglasses. In fact, we're just talking about here in the studio about these welding glasses. Evidently, that's not enough, according to Glenn Burns on WSB television. So they have to be special eclipse glasses, according to NASA. So be very, very careful tomorrow with this event. But tune in here, right here to WSB Radio 1 to 3, as we cover the event live and take your calls and questions. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here, WSB Radio, Sunday morning. An awful lot that we were talking about today, really the theme about whether it's a bad time to invest or not, and what a period of time, whether you have good timing, bad timing, what really counts is that you have time. And investment success, it's not about perfection. It's about participation. That's what really matters. But it is nerve-wracking as you go into retirement. And we sit here at a market at a high point. You've got to be careful. And you don't want, if you're a retiree, 100% of your assets tied up in stocks. As we go into a period of time where we're long, long overdue for some sort of correction. Doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow or even in the next 6 months. But as you go into a period of time where you need your assets, you don't want to be at a point where you're having to dig yourself out of a giant hole for the rest of retirement. 404-872-0750, the number here in the studio to take your calls and questions. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to Jerry, who joins us on the line. Jerry from Johns Creek. Jerry, what's going on? How can I help, my friend?
Yes, sir. Hey, I just turned 55. My wife's 53. We've, in our 401ks, have accumulated $2.7 to $3 million in that ballpark. We both have pensions from our companies. We own our house outright. About a $500,000 home. Am I in the right ballpark for thinking about retirement yet?
You know, it's. I think that immediately. So you've got when our listeners are probably like, "Of course, Jerry, you have plenty of money," but it's a little nerve wracking when you're so young, right? So it's 55. Right. 55. I mean, hopefully you've got 40 more. You know, 50 years, Jerry. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So money's got to last a super long period of time. We're talking about a half a century. So it is a good question, right? When you're a really young retiree, the calculus changes a little bit because you can't. So I've got
we'd probably go out. I'd go out in about 7 years.
Oh, I thought you were talking about retiring right now.
No, not right now. No, I'm thinking 62, and my wife will have another 9 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can just tell you, I've done enough financial plans over the years that as long as you're not spending $20,000 a month, Jerry, then the answer is absolutely. You have plenty. Now, it all goes back to, and I've talked about the rich ratio. Remember, you can have $3 million, but if you need $30,000 a month for life, it's not going to cut it. It really goes back to what is a safe level withdrawal. And if you've already got pensions, you might not even need much. But think about $3 million for a second. Let's just call it even a conservative 4%. That's $120,000. Your pensions are going to be per month how much?
You know, if I took it as a lump sum right now, it'd be worth $360,000.
How about if you take it as a monthly annuity? Amount? Yeah.
Yeah, we could take it as an annuity. I don't have the figures in front of me.
But we're talking about what, like $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month?
A couple thousand a month, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, combined? Four
yes.
grand.
Four. Okay. Yeah. So now you've got another, if you're looking at another 48,000, here's the way I look at this. And I know I'm not counting Social Security yet. I'm just counting your pensions. But if you look long term at a what I would consider a very safe rate of withdrawal so that you never run out of money over time, no matter how long you live. You're talking about $120,000 coming out of your 401ks that's getting produced every year, plus another $48,000 from the pension, right? So now right. you're at, you put those two together, you're at $168,000, right? Now you've got to pay some taxes on that. Let's call it 20% in taxes because your tax rate's going to go down in retirement. Your state income tax is going to go way down. Your FICA that you pay on the first about $120,000 of your income, that goes away. So your overall taxes go down pretty considerably in retirement for most families. Not everybody, but for most families. So now after you net, so that your gross is $168,000, your net is about $134,000 for the year, you know, divided by 12, $134,000 divided by 12, now you're talking about $11,000 a month net.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a mortgage, Jerry, then
we do not.
Then
not for 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, then that's a lot. That's a lot of travel, right? You can do whatever you want to do forever. Now, if you told me, hey, Wes, I need $17,000 a month, then I'd say, yeah, you're stretching it. And I know that if you're listening, you're saying that's crazy. Nobody needs that much in retirement, and you're right for the most part. You don't, but I was in California. I was in the San Diego area not that long ago. And I sat down with a family that considerable amount of money, not a ton more than the conversation I'm having with Jerry, maybe a more than what we're talking about here, but not a tremendous amount more. And we started talking about spending. And they said, well, I need about $500 a year. And I said to myself, wait, $500 a month above your mortgage? No, $500,000 per year to keep up with spending. So they needed $41,600 per month. $41,000 a month. And so, and let's call it the net worth was $5 million. That's a lot of money, right? From 99.999% of people listening say, well, I have $5 million. I retire today, right? But if you need $500,000 a year to live, if you're a member of a yacht club and two country clubs and another golf club, and you've got a $12 million house that's got a $6 million mortgage note on it, then it's not enough. So I know that you're listening, you hear Jerry call in, he's got $3 million. You say to yourself, of course you've got plenty of money, Jerry. Of course. But there are lots of families out there that $11,000 a month is not enough. They need $15, they need $20, they need $30. In my case, I was out in California. They need over $40,000 a month. So if that were the case, then Jerry, you couldn't retire with $2.7 to $3 million. However, in your case with no mortgage, you're going to be doing trips around the world with $11,000 a month. And then there's still going to be money left over because you'll still have a net worth long term, 30, 40, 50 years, where you arguably should grow that $3 million if you're only taking 3.5% or 4% a year. So again, this is a quick conversation. I know that I don't know every in and out of what's happening with your life, but I think that on the surface, you are in wonderful shape and an inspiration, quite frankly, to us all, Jerry.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it today.
All right, man. Be careful. Have fun with the eclipse tomorrow. Wear your eclipse glasses. 404-872-0750. The number here in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to continue to go to the phones. Joe joins us from Conyers. Hey, Joe, what's going on? How can I help?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Yes, sir. I was. I got, like I said, about $500,000 in a savings account, just drawing no interest at all, like 0.00 of nothing. But I was wondering where I could put it to draw, you know, at least 1 or 2%. I've got some money in a Goldman Sachs. It gets like 1.05, which.
Oh, do you have a Goldman? When you say Goldman Sachs, are you talking about a Goldman Sachs CD?
No, sir. Just this. I don't know what you call it. It's just sitting in their bank account. Like, it's a savings account, I guess. I don't know what it is. It's,
so again, so Joe, you've got this period of time where when the Fed had rates at zero, now they're high, a little higher than that. Money markets effectively did pay zero. Today, as the Fed's raised their target date or target their target rate, then now money markets, you're going to get closer to 1%. It's not that hard to find that. Again, you're going to find CDs 1.5%. You can even get to 2% on CDs, particularly if you go out a couple of years. So if you did a 5-year CD, you're looking at 2% or even maybe a little bit more than that. So no reason to not be making at least 2%. 10-year government bond pays over 2%. So there's a lot of really safe options out there where you should be getting at least a little bit of interest, right?
Okay.
So start asking wherever you are, start asking about, let's step things up from a zero rate to at least a 2, maybe a 2.25 rate. And and then beyond that is you're talking about being a stock-oriented investor where you have a portion of your money in equities or stocks that pay some sort of dividend. Again, you can find 3%, 4% dividends from high quality companies. Now, granted, you're going to have principal that'll fluctuate. It doesn't mean a dividend paying stock is very different than a bond. The value can go up and down tremendously. But typically, and more often than not, the dividend rate or level stays extremely consistent. And if you're looking at utility companies or telecom companies, or even some big energy companies, you can find 2.5%, 3%, 3.5%, 4% a year just in dividends. So those are some of the other areas I'd look at as you start to kind of step up money just sitting there in cash, not working for you at all. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. Again, we've talked a lot today about what I think is one of the most important concepts in investing, and that has to do with this short, intermediate, and long-term time frames on putting money to work or getting money out. Quite frankly, it's always the question as you move forward. It's not about what has happened. It's about what was going to happen over the next year and 3 and 5 and 10 years, 25 years. And none of us are investing for tomorrow or next week. We're investing for long periods of time. We just had a call. I want to say it was Jerry was talking about retirement. He's 55. He could be retired for 10 years, or not 10 years. He's going to retire in 10 years. He could be retired for 50 years. So this is not about what's happening over the short term. It's about understanding that we've got a long time to make this work. Ryan, is it prize pack time? Is that what we're talking about?
It sure is. The WSB Weekend Prize Pack is a pair of tickets to see Goo Goo Dolls with Philip Phillips on Labor Day, September 4th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by Live Nation. Caller number 11 wins these tickets.
Again, if you're looking for the chart or the infographic that I talked about that shows the difference between terrible timing as an investor and perfect timing relative to cash, it's a wonderfully important infographic. Just go to wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, under the money tab. It's the first article titled, "Is Now Near a Market or at a Market High a Bad Time to Invest?" You're listening to Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss with the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I want to go back to the phones here for just a second. As we wrap up Money Matters today, we're headed to Danny, who joins us from Buford. Danny, good morning. We just got a couple minutes left. What's going on?
Yes, Wes, I listen to you pretty much every Sunday, and all I hear is the people with million, 2 million, 3 million. I'm 75 years old. I've been retired 20 years. I got about $350,000 in saving stock, bonds, and stuff like that. And I have not had a problem in 20 years.
Okay,
I own my house free and clear. When I retired at 55. And you can do it if you do it right.
Wow. And obviously you have Social Security. You have a pension too?
I have a small pension, less than $500 a month.
Wow. Okay. But the house is paid for, Danny.
The house was paid for when I retired.
There it is. So you're right. And I feel like we take calls, Danny, and this is such a wonderful call because it's in context to what we just talked about, where we get calls from kids that are starting out in their 20s and have zero money. We get folks that will call in with $5 million and then everywhere in between. And I think the great point that Danny is making is that you don't need $3 million. You should be very comfortable at that case. I told a story about a couple in California that needed $50,000 or $500,000 a year or $40,000 a month. That's obviously... you're going to need more than $350,000. But to Danny's point, you get the house paid off, Social Security, a little bit of pension, and if you're just generating or taking 3-4% from whatever your nest egg is, it can last forever. Danny was 55. He's been retired for 20 years. And to his point, never had a problem. And by the way, we've had a lot of ups and downs in that 20 years in the market. Danny, we got to run, wrap up Money Matters. But listen, man, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for listening to Money Matters.
Okay, thank you.
The number here, well, we've got to run. Tomorrow, it's Eclipse Day. Please tune in here, WSB Radio. 1-3, Mark Arum, Eric Von Hessler, Kirk Mellish, Neil Bortz, taking your calls live here, WSB Radio. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful Sunday. Stay tuned to the best programming on the planet right here. News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.